with Gregory Copley, my colleague, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. The recent Nigerian election, the most prominent and populous and powerful state in all of Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, certainly, but all of Africa, given its natural resources, its people, and its ambitions. But these last years, troubled by various non-transparent administrations, and the presidency won most recently by a continuation of the same non-transparent, troubled administration. Now we have news from Nigeria that the ruling party continues to roll up successes. This one, Dateline Lagos, the governor of Lagos easily won re-election in a low turnout local voting, a victory for Nigeria's ruling party just weeks after the commercial capital backed the opposition in a disputed presidential election. Disputed is the point for the update. Gregory, as I recall, the way it was left was that there were many allegations of funny business in the most recent election. Now this reintroduces funny business. However, I didn't understand that there was anything but despair on the losers. Has that changed?
Oh, yes. There are credible and absolutely unassailable legal arguments as to why the election should not have been called in favor of now President-elect Tinubu. The Constitution is very, very clear on what it is, what it requires for a president to take to be acknowledged as having won an election, and that is that he must win at least 24 of must win an overall majority of votes, but must win at least 25% of the votes in 24 of the 36 states, in and as well as the federal capital territory of Abuja. Now, one of the things that President Tinubu did not do was to win more than 25% of the votes in the federal capital territory. So therefore, he technically did not meet the threshold for having for being declared the winner of the February election. So what was the big problem was that INEC, the Independent Nigerian Election Commission, called the results before before all of the voting was counted. And once it was counted, it was quite clear that that final requirement of the Constitution had not been met. Had they waited even a few hours, or let alone a few days, they would have found that there was grounds for the election to have passed its first stage, because it's the Constitution allows for a two-stage election, and that would have called for the two leading candidates, namely former Governor Tinubu and former Vice President Atiku Abubakar, to face each other in a runoff election, which almost certainly would have resulted in Atiku winning. All of the evidence points to that. So basically, that's now going before the courts. The problem is that the courts are unwilling to create mayhem, in a sense, and they will side with the incumbent government on when they can. But I think the Constitution is so explicit at this on this point that that this will not be allowed to rest easily. As I pointed out in one of those earlier reports, which you cited, this was an election which was greeted in far worse terms than most coups have been greeted in Nigeria. So basically, what we saw, there was a low voter turnout, about 25-26% of the electorate voted, and 2/3 of those voters voted against the candidate who won. So it's hardly a mandate to govern. And if you look at the overall figures, about 10% of the registered voted for President-elect Tinubu. So the courts may feel that they have to be very meticulous about the application of the Constitution in reviewing this situation. It'll be a huge embarrassment for INEC, but it's going to be a subject which won't go away. The protests are continuing throughout the country. The gubernatorial elections, which occurred after the presidential elections, showed a considerable increase in violence. You had also very low voter turnouts. Yes, the All Progressives Congress governor of Lagos State was re-elected, but again, it was a very low voter turnout. Voters are not happy about this situation at all.
Watching Nigeria and instability in West Africa, Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're headed to Australia next, and the success of AUKUS also creates question marks about Australia in the future. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.